The Navy and Marine Corps are still in the early planning stages for an overhaul of their Next Generation Enterprise Network contract. But both services say they hope to use the recompetition of NGEN to give industry a bigger hand in the IT services they provide to sailors and Marines. We get more now from Federal News Radio's DoD reporter, Jared Serbu.
The Navy Department released its request for information just a month ago, an early step in developing the acquisition strategy for the next round of contracts under NGEN. The contract structure provides 34 separate enterprise services to the Navy and some contractor support to the Marine Corps. HP is the incumbent vendor for all of those services, but officials have long maintained that the eventual plan was to break the contract apart in such a way that multiple vendors would provide various services. The Navy and Marine Corps operate different network structures today. The Navy is now government-owned and contractor-operated, while the Marines both own and operate most of their own IT infrastructure. Nonetheless, both services see the NGEN recompete as a gateway to more commercial participation. The Navy, for instance, wants 75% of its data to be hosted by commercial providers. Janice Haith is the deputy CIO for the Navy.
In addition to that, we're looking at our application hosting and changing the way we do application hosting for commercial cloud services. Currently, Hewlett-Packard provides that service for us in one location. We're changing that to a cloud access point, and so there will be 23 vendors that we're looking at to possibly host those capabilities for us, but also others in DoD. Right now, we have the lowest price point for commercial services with data centers because of our NGEN contract. We're also looking at the NGEN contract to change our way we do transport and how we handle the transport capability both ashore, CONUS, and overseas. We have assumed the responsibility for the medical guys, and we're going to take their transport and become responsible for that.
Haith says the Navy also plans to use the next version of the NGEN contract to merge its existing cybersecurity infrastructure into DoD's joint regional security stacks, a major underpinning of the joint information environment. The Army and Air Force have already taken major steps to create JRSS and to move their installations behind the new DoD-wide firewalls. The sea services have committed to join in by fiscal 2018.
We have 75 legacy networks still left that we're bringing into the NGEN environment. So once we bring those in, we will have one enterprise network that covers all of the communities of interest except for medical, which we're not responsible for. That'll be Defense Health and the RDT&E, which DISA still runs as the DREN. Everything else will be under NGEN. That includes what we're doing in Cuba and overseas. OneNet will be migrated as part of NGEN as well.
Ken Bible, the Marine Corps' deputy CIO, says the Marines are firmly committed to the decision they first made in 2009, retaking government ownership of the network when the two services decided to end the full outsourcing of the Navy Marine Corps intranet. The Marine Corps' successor to NMCI, the Marine Corps Enterprise Network, still gets some limited contract support under the NGEN contract, but Bible suggested on Thursday that the Marines may be leaning slightly more toward the Navy's model, in which contractors handle day-to-day IT legwork with high-level direction from the government.
We started to realize that there were some things that perhaps, you know, we could do more like the Navy did in terms of contractor services to support that. We haven't fully fleshed that out. I think we're talking with the PEO, EIS, and PMW 205 to discuss what those possible leveraging points would be. We are not changing from our government-owned, government-operated construct because several years ago we embarked upon this MCSEN unification, Marine Corps Enterprise Network unification, and that was bringing together all the disparate pieces that have spun off over the last 14 years under NMCI because NMCI couldn't support the deploying forces going out into Iraq and Afghanistan. And so we're spending a lot of time trying to get those, I don't want to call them legacy, but legacy networks and bring them back together.
To do that, Bible says the Navy and Marine Corps need to rebuild and maintain the government's own IT engineering expertise, something he says both services lost during the first decade of the 21st century, when their networks were almost fully in the charge of an outside contractor.
Government really needs to know its craft. One of the challenges that I faced over in the NGEN when I was over in PEO EIS was building the right government expertise to be able to make the technical trades to do something other than lowest price technically acceptable. We atrophied tremendously, I think, in terms of government engineering and technical acumen over the course of the NMCI contract, because that wasn't what we were doing. We weren't doing the engineering. It was bought as a service. And I admit that that is an area that we've really got to bring back our technical chops, and why I've been very committed in working with Marcor Syscom to go grow that cadre of engineering experts so that we can be better buyers of what commercial does. That said, there's some areas like the commercial cloud where industry is moving so fast in terms of looking at different ways of doing virtualization, looking at different ways of building capacity and managing the infrastructure behind the scenes of commercial cloud. Those are areas where we're not moving as fast. Our acquisition system doesn't move that fast, and the knowledge level is not as high. So I think that's an area we can learn a great deal from. Help us understand the technologies, help us get the right people on board that understand it, and we're going to be more and more comfortable in offloading that. If we understand how the services perform, understand how we're getting at those, understand how to maneuver in that space, it'll make it easier for us to rely on those commercial capabilities.
Haith says the Navy is also hoping to use the forthcoming NGEN recompete to buy and integrate new hardware at an enterprise level, with an emphasis on moving away from desktop computers. Government-provided tablet computers are one possibility, but the Navy is also examining a bring-your-own-device model for smartphones. She says the service has requested permission from the DoD CIO's office to begin a BYOD pilot project. The initial audience for the pilot would be the Navy Reserve and Navy units within the U.S. Pacific Command.
Our biggest challenge is our civilian workforce and our lawyers, because our lawyers don't particularly like BYOD. They consider it basically you giving free services to the government, and we don't look at it that way. We look at its ability to do your job in an adaptable, flexible environment, anytime, any place, wherever you are. So our pilot, if we get it approved through DoD CIO, we will extend it to the reserves, to the PACOM AOR, and possibly to NORTHCOM, and maybe to Fleet Forces, to see how this works, because we want to try it and see what we can do, what can't do. If it's just going to be basic, unsensitive, or what we call FOUO, that's fine. But we want to be able to test it out to see what we can take advantage of.
Haith says the Navy envisions letting users connect almost any smartphone they happen to own to DoD's networks, with some provisos. They need to be purchased from reputable stateside vendors and not overseas. One of DoD's toughest problems with regard to BYOD has been to figure out how to integrate commercial mobile devices with the public key infrastructure most DoD systems require for user authentication. The Marine Corps believes it may have cracked that nut, though. In an earlier beta test, the Marines used a software container to hold derived credentials based on new guidance from the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Bible says a full-scale pilot that's underway now will test how secure those containers are.
That involved moving that service for managing those containers into a FedRAMP certified facility, and then working through the TTPs to actually move that derived certificate over the air onto the device and be assured that we destroyed the certificate back in that FedRAMP facility, so that now we only have that certificate on that device. So if we kill it in the device, we've killed it. That security of that credential is probably the biggest challenge we've gone through. So the pilot stage, the parameters there are to go in and prove out the security of the container, continue to do the pen testing there, and to prove out the security of the process of moving the derived credential. I do think it's a tremendous capability that we've got to work towards. And I've got 61% of our population under the age of 25, 61% of the Marine Corps is under the age of 25. They're digital natives. They've grown up with these devices. And while they're very disciplined and they do as they're ordered, they also want to get their mission done. And so if that means a personal device, personal email account, then sometimes that's going to happen. And I'd rather give them a good enough secure solution than try to wait around for perfect.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.